if you do not have the health that you want, and let me just kind of create a scenario here. Maybe you're a listener of this program, and maybe you've listened for a while, and every time that a person calls to ask a question, and when I respond to that person with recommendations, if you purpose in your heart that you're going to follow those recommendations specific for that person's condition, and that's your plan, okay, that might be a plan, but it just may not be the very best plan for you. And so, what do you do if you do not have radiant health, if you cannot restore yourself? Well, then you might have to come to terms with reality, and you might have to consider that your plan is not working. We're going to need a different plan. Okay. All I want you to do is just consider that. Unless you prioritize what the chief issue is and what the most important thing to work on is, and you follow your doctor's recommendations, does anybody ever ask your doctor what's his plan? Just curious. Okay. My talented wife sent me an article, and it says, popular diet ingredient now linked to leukemia and lymphoma in a new landmark study on humans. And I sure hope you find this very interesting. And what I want you to consider is, even the bulk of this information is based on, what is our greatest exposure to aspartame? Well, it would be diet soft drinks, most likely. But for some people, that's not true. There's a lot of people that don't drink diet soft drinks. What they do is they chew gum that is filled with aspartame. So all I want you to do is just consider that as I read this article to you. As few as one diet soda daily may increase the risk of leukemia in men and women for multiple myeloma and non-Hodgkin lymphoma in men, according to new results from the longest ever running study on aspartame as a carcinogen in humans. That means it's known to cause cancer. Importantly, this is the most comprehensive long-term study ever complete on the topic. So it holds more weight than other past studies which appeared to show no risk. I kind of wondered if maybe those short-term studies were financially supported by the aspartame industry. You know, I'm just saying. And disturbingly, it may open the door for further similar findings on other cancers in future studies. All right. For this study, researchers prospectively analyzed data from the Nurses' Health Study and the Health Professionals' Follow-Up Study for a 22-year period. Folks, did you catch that? 22 years? Okay. I would say that's a long-term study, wouldn't you? A total of 77,218 women and 47,810 men. That means men were outnumbered by 30,000. They were included in the analysis. For a total of, get this, 2,278,396 person years of data. 2 million. I don't think that's a number we can just throw around lightly. Apart from sheer size, what makes this study superior to the other past studies is the thoroughness with which aspartame intake was assessed. I like that. Every 2 years, participants were given detailed dietary questionnaire, and their diets were reassessed every 4 years. Previous studies which found no link to cancer only ever assessed participants' aspartame intake at one point in time. So this one did it quite often, which could be a major weakness affecting their accuracy. Now, I'm not trying to be negative nor diabolical or conspiracy theorist, but there's a reason why stats are important. And if you omit data, do you think that maybe that's to skew the results in your favor, or you can make it say what you want? Yeah. Okay. The combined results of this new study show that just one 12-ounce can of diet soda daily leads to, and just hold your horses, if you're not sitting down, maybe you're laying down in bed, Just listen to this, and you tell me what you think. One 12-ounce can of soda that's based on sweetened with aspartame Here's the results. 42% higher leukemia risk in men and women. You like that number? I hate it, but it's the truth. But instead of hating it, I'm going to say, let's use that to our advantage. So if you want to have a higher risk of leukemia, then use aspartame. Nobody wants to do that. I can promise you right now, if there was a drug that was produced for women that said it would lower your risk of leukemia by 42%, if you just take this pill, it has been shown to reduce your risk of leukemia. It's a drug. It might be one of the top-selling drugs of all time. But does that mean our thinking is flawed? Well, here you have it. After 22 years, over 2 million man-hours, man-years, or woman-years, 42% higher leukemia risk. Okay, get this next one right here. 102% higher multiple myeloma risk. You may not know what a multiple myeloma is, but that's bone cancer. See, that's the most maddening thing for me as a physician. Somebody comes to my office and they say, Dr. Morgan, I have got to restore my health. And to have them continue to drink soda water after soda water with aspartame, you know, they say comments like, oh, it's not that big of a deal, I don't really have that much. But it's just one beverage a day. 102% higher multiple myeloma risk. It says also 31% higher non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So we've got leukemia, which is a blood cancer. We've got lymphoma, which is a blood cancer. We've got multiple myeloma. That is a bone cancer. All those go up when you drink a diet soft drink. These results were based on multiple variable relative risk models, all in comparison to participants who drank no diet soda at all. Folks, that makes it just real cut and dry. All we're doing is we're comparing those that drink diet sodas with those that don't. It is unknown why only men drinking higher amounts of diet soda showed increased risk for multiple myeloma or bone cancer or non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Can I just interject right there at that point? Well, okay, they're just saying they don't know the reason why that men have more bone cancer when they drink diet sodas. But would you say the truth is the truth? And maybe we don't have to know that right now. But I can tell you right now, drinking diet sodas is going to do one thing. It's going to destroy your health. How about if I say it like that? It is a guarantee of destroying your health. You just have to decide if you believe this or not. And you have to decide if you want to think right thoughts about this. Wrong thinking would be, oh, it's not going to bother me to smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day. I'll never have lung cancer. That's wrong thinking, folks. Because when you develop lung cancer, it's going to be cause and effect. You have put these carcinogenic chemicals in contact with your lungs, and then you act surprised that you have lung cancer? I don't understand that thinking. So you can't say any longer that drinking a diet soft drink a day is not going to be that big of a deal. But what I'm personally curious about is, you know, that almost every chewing gum, you see, what we may have to do is, if you're going to chew gum, maybe we should search out gum that doesn't have aspartame. You ever heard of Spry gum that's sweetened with xylitol? Yeah, how about that? There's your alternative right there. They said, note that diet soda is the largest dietary source of aspartame by far in the U.S. Every year, Americans consume about 5,250 tons of aspartame in total, which is about, about 86% is found in diet sodas. That means less than, you know, diet sodas, but you still have aspartame. But I see aspartame all the time in chewing gum. Sometimes if I'm in the checkout line and I'm waiting my turn, you know, I can look at labels just like you can. And when you look at the labels and you see the list of ingredients and you see aspartame in there, maybe this is not what's best for your children or for you. Okay. Confirmation of previous high-quality research on animals. The new study shows the importance of quality research. Most of the past studies showing no link between aspartame and cancer have been criticized for being too short in duration and too inaccurate in assessing long-term aspartame intake. See there? if you're not looking for a correlation, you're not going to find it, are you? Well, we did a study for 3 months and it didn't show any correlation. Oh, come on. This new study solves both of those issues. The fact that it also shows a positive link to cancer should come as no surprise, because a previous best-in-class research study done on animals, and in, this is a study, they took 900 rats over their entire natural lifetimes. They showed a strikingly similar results back in 2006, that aspartame significantly increased the risk for lymphomas and leukemia in both male and females. This is a rat study. More worrying is that the follow-up on the mega study, which started aspartame exposure of the rats at the fetal stage, that kind of tells me that should be a pretty much concern, because if they're giving rats that are in the, while the mama rat is pregnant, they're giving them aspartame. Oh my word! Increased lymphoma and leukemia risk were confirmed. And this time, the female rats also showed significantly increased breast cancer rates. Women, that might be just a little bit scary. If you've had a diagnosis of breast cancer, can you just answer the question for me? Have you been consuming aspartame? All right. This raises a critical question. Will future high-quality studies uncover links to other cancers in which aspartame has been implicated? Brain, breast, prostate, colon, etc.? Well, I don't know the answer to that. Here's the end of it right here. There is now more reason than ever to completely avoid aspartame in our daily diet. For those who are tempted, that if you heard that, that was my four-year-old. Anyway, it's actually... Sorry, it's kind of comical. I have headphones on. He has headphones on. He just made a face. Yeah, Thomas, you better put those back, son. Why don't you go play with your sisters? Okay, all right. Sorry, folks. All right, for those who are tempted to go back to sugary sodas, I'm switching gears here. Let me start over. There is more reason than ever to completely avoid aspartame in our daily diet. I realize you're super duper intelligent. Probably on some level you're smarter than your, cabbage that's growing in the garden. But so let's just say we don't want aspartame. We're just going to go with regular sodas. For those who are tempted to go back to a sugary soda as a healthy alternative, this study had a surprise finding. It said men consuming one or more sugar-sweetened sodas daily, they saw a 66% increase in non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. That's even worse than for diet sodas, aspartame. Perhaps the healthiest soda at all is not a soda. Maybe it's a kombucha or kefir water. Anyway, I don't know what you think about that. I don't know if you find that information helpful at all. I'm really saying that as room for encouragement. It gives me no pleasure on any level to find an individual that has cancer. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you?
I have a question. You mentioned, I can't even think of the name of it, another sweetener, lysine or something like that.
Well, no, I know what you're saying. I mentioned there is a type of gum that you can buy at a health food store called Spry Gum. It's sweet with xylitol.
Oh, xylitol. And yeah, what is xylitol?
Xylitol is a byproduct of taking trees and extracting alcohol sugars from them. So they're made in nature. You like the sound of that?
Oh, okay. So
they're not cooked up by a mad scientist in a laboratory somewhere going, aha, what can I come up with? So it's just xylitol is just a byproduct of birch tree sap.
I don't want to put that in the Coke. Pops, if they have to drink it. But so what about the stevia?
Stevia, I think, is a good alternative. I think if you said, all right, if I don't want to consume chewing gum that's based on aspartame, what could I use? Well, you could just go get xylitol gum. Xylitol is spelled with an X. I think it's X-Y-L-I-T-O-L, xylitol.
Okay, almost I don't chew like, gum. I'm talking about the sweetener.
I know, but I said that for other people that are listening so I can make points that are relevant to them also.
Okay,
see,
great.
You didn't know how tricky I am in my thinking, did you?
Yeah, I know. No.
Okay, so, yeah, if you would look at things like stevia, or some people, I have some women that tell me they really, really can do the no-sugar thing or the no-aspartame thing if they have something that has monk fruit with stevia.
Monk fruit?
Yeah, it's produced by monks in a monastery. So the next time you drive by the monastery, you ask the monks, can I buy some monk fruit, and they will sell it to you. If I'm not mistaken, they say that 17% of a monk's income comes from the sale of monk fruit.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I use stevia. I use maybe half of one of those little packs. Otherwise, it gives me an aftertaste.
Oh, yeah. That's what I would say, too. I would say it has kind of a yucky aftertaste.
Yeah, but if I use a half of one of those little packs in my cereal, it knocks off the sharpness of, like, the blackberries. Sometimes they have a sharp flavor or something. And I do fine, but I was just curious about that other sweetener you mentioned. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate you. I've been out of town for a while, and I'm happy to be back.
Really? So how far did you go off?
Well, actually, I was in Waco.
Oh, that's far, far, far away. Far away.
Yeah. Yes. And so,
well,
and
you're,
I
well, you're very sweet and you're very kind. Thank you for your kind words.
Yes. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Oh, well. Merry Christmas to you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you say the term Happy Holidays, that definitely has a meaning. But if you say Merry Christmas, maybe that means that Jesus is our focus? Okay. 903-586-5257. Good morning. You made it in. Way to go.
I know. It's hard to get in on your show. There's so many people calling.
No. You're a winner. A winner.
Thank you.
We're giving you the blue ribbon today for first place.
Yay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your phone call.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you for being here. I'm telling you, you're a good guy.
Well, thanks.
I wanted to know about reversing osteopenia. What do I need to take?
Tell me why you're phrasing it that way.
Well, when I had my bone density test, it came back that I have osteopenia in my hips.
See, I'm gonna be very difficult with you today, just because I want to be. No, I'm joking. You could have rephrased that question. You could say, what should I not take?
Okay.
Or what should I avoid? And let me just give you a heads up here. I would just venture a guess, if a person wants to strip bone material from their skeleton as fast as possible, then drinking sugary beverages that have what's called phosphoric acid might be the best way to strip bone away from the skeleton.
Okay, now I don't drink soft drinks.
Yeah, look at you. Good girl.
Okay, I haven't for years.
Oh, so you have, see, that's what I call wisdom. I like
that. Well, and that's wise, because I had read that it just strips the bone right off or the calcium right out of your bones.
Yes, ma'am. Now, this is not meant to be difficult, but it's a concept that's proven to be more and more accurate on long-term studies. They show that women that have the most emotional or mental stress, they usually have higher bone loss. So I would say, you've heard the phrase before that stress kills, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you have a lot of stress?
No.
Good. Then we don't have to cover that topic then. Okay. I would say, if you asked my opinion, what is hands down the most important thing to add or include or to take if you have osteopenia, I would say it's going to be about two or threefold. Number one, and I don't know that I'm saying these in order, but I would say number one, the quality of the fat intake that we consume is going to make all the difference in the world. And so what I really want to say is, if we consume good, healthy fat, that is going to be part and parcel to making sure that you can absorb minerals from the very food that you're eating. So, can I give you an example?
Yes.
Have you ever heard that calcium might be in tremendous abundance when you eat a salmon fillet?
Yes.
Good. So, salmon also has fat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you had a salmon fillet and it was baking in a Pyrex dish at the in the oven, of course, the Pyrex dish that I have, I think I paid a dollar for it at a garage sale. Am I the only one that likes to do stuff like that?
No, I like to do that, too.
Okay, good. Yeah, we grew up in the same time, 1930, right?
No, I'm a little later than that.
I had these women bring a picture of me the other day into my office, and they said, you don't look anything like your picture. And they showed me this picture of this old man with white hair, and I'm going, oh, thanks a lot, great. And they said, well, we got it off the internet. It said it was you. That is not me. Anyway, but if you were to cook that in Pyrex, as far as I'm concerned, you could add lots of butter to it, or you could add ghee to it to increase the fat content. So when we actually grasp the concept that fat is good for us, let me start over here. You know what a baby does to increase bone mass, don't you?
No.
They drink mother's breast milk.
Oh,
and mother's breast milk is 54% pure fat.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to believe there's got to be some type of a message in what I'm saying.
Okay,
good. But you need to make sure that you have plenty of good fat in your diet. Fat is not bad unless it's a man-processed fat, things like mm-hmm. corn oil or soybean oil or margarine.
No.
Okay.
I use a butter. I love butter and olive oil.
Bone cells, believe it or not, they're alive.
Mm-hmm.
I know if you walk out in the pasture and you come across an old carcass of a, maybe it's the jawbone of an ass. I keep thinking about Samson, how he defeated 1,000 Philistines. But you're going to notice it's kind of bleached white, so wouldn't you agree with me? Calcium belongs, that's the most dominant mineral that we have in the body, but 99% of it's going to be in the bones, right? Or teeth. Mm-hmm. And so if you have that, you're just going, hey, I wonder if calcium kind of is a white color. You'd go, yeah. And then when you look at things like a glass of milk, you'd go, okay, I'm starting to understand this. Maybe that's calcium. But see, bone cells, there's two types. Well, there's actually three types of bone cells, but I'll just say one of them is called an osteoblast. But you actually have to, the term that I always think of, it's called piezoelectric. Maybe you've never heard the term piezoelectric, but there's a term called piezoelectric crystal. So if you look at your bone under a microscope, I can promise you it looks just like a crystal formation. You've wandered into this deep cave under the earth, and you turn on your flashlight and you go, wow, look at these crystals forming everywhere. Well, under a microscope, that's what your bones look like. And so the way that a bone cell gets a signal to lay down new bone, meaning reversing osteopenia, it's got to get that electric shock.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one way that you can give your bones an electric shock. That's called exercise, weight-bearing exercise. I realize I couldn't trick you if I wanted to, but weight-bearing exercise, that's one of the reasons why walking, body weight exercises, Pilates, dancing, jogging, running, walking, manual labor, that's the one ticket that you've got to causing that piezoelectric shock, and that's what stimulates the osteoblast to lay down that new mineral matrix called brand new bone.
Okay, I walk 3 miles to 5 miles a day.
Oh, my word. You are awesome. Now, let me talk about the easy stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There is a fat-soluble vitamin called vitamin D. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's called cholecalciferol or vitamin D3. I'd
mm-hmm.
say that's the active form, and one of the roles of vitamin D, not the only one, but one of the roles, is to make sure that you can concentrate an adequate amount of calcium from your food and diet absorbed into your bloodstream. That's one of the roles of vitamin D, making sure that calcium gets in the blood. And you and I would both agree that the blood is like the most tremendous transportation system that God could conceive for the human body, so it carries an ocean of nutrients. So D3's job is to get calcium in the blood, right?
Yes.
So what is the job of, excuse me, let me rephrase that. What is responsible for making sure that you can get calcium from the blood into the bones? You know that one?
Yeah.
That's another fat-soluble vitamin. It's called vitamin K2.
Okay, I don't take that one.
Well, but that answers part of your question, because that's part of this mystery. It's not a mystery, really. That's part of the equation, is that K2 plays a vital role in making sure that calcium ends up where it belongs. Now, I know this is not relevant to you, but for everybody else listening, what if you have a massive calcification forming kidney stones? Is that mean you have plenty of K2? No, it means you don't have enough because calcium is building up where it doesn't belong. What if you have calcification of your joints where you have horrible arthritis?
Mm-hmm.
Would you care to guess how many people I've seen that have had very distorted joints because of calcium deposits? Quite a few. So I can, you know, don't have to be that bright to observe those things, but that might be a K2 deficiency. Now, this is just me talking. Anybody that wants to is welcome to question anything that I say. But I'm not so sure that magnesium is not the most important mineral when it comes to restoring bone health.
Okay, I take extra magnesium.
I think you are smart. I knew I was in the presence of massive intelligence today. Ma'am, did I say something funny? I was really trying to be serious. I said, okay.
I've been listening to you for a while.
How long?
At least a year or two.
Really? Well, I've been on the radio for 2.5 years now, so...
I must have got you right after you started doing this.
Oh, those old programs, those were very low quality because I didn't know what I'm doing.
Oh.
Or what I was doing. I'm not so sure I know anything different, but I'm trying. I'm a work in progress. So these would be good things for you to focus on.
Okay.
There is an herb called Epimedium.
Okay.
It has been shown it has a very distinct action on stimulating bone cells to lay down bone at a faster rate than what it breaks down. Because what osteopenia really means, it means you're losing that mineral matrix or bone at a faster rate than what it can be replaced. And that means the body's starting to break down faster than you can rebuild it. I don't personally like that. I like, you know, the body able to replace bone at a fast rate.
Yes.
So those are some things right there.
Okay, I'm going to try the K2.
You got nothing to lose by doing that. Just read everything that you want about vitamin K2 and see if you become convinced that it might be beneficial to you.
Okay. I have another question. Do you have you ever heard of KM?
They're a maker of very famous cross-country motorcycles. Yes, ma'am, I have. KM Motorcycles. I have heard of that.
No, it's a potassium.
If you look at the periodic table and you see the letter K, that's the scientific designation for potassium.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, believe it or not, I have heard of potassium once or twice.
Okay. Well, I was wondering if you had heard about the supplement. And, I used to take it, and when I was taking it, I didn't have any sinus drainage at all down the back of my throat.
Well, do you know what the form of potassium is in KM?
No. I haven't looked at the bottle in a long time.
Okay. Well, is this by prescription or over the counter?
It's over the counter, but you used to have to get it out of Canada. Now I notice you can get it on Amazon. So I was thinking about starting to order it again and use it.
Well, I can certainly look it up and see if I can find out more about it.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you're asking me if I'm for potassium or against it, I think I'm for it.
Okay. Well, it's got a lot of herbs in it, too. It's just a special combination, you know.
No, but to answer your question, no, I'm not even remotely familiar with KM, sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I was going to start taking it and get rid of this sinus stuff.
Well, I was hoping you were going to tell me, though, that your father was a founder of KM Motorcycles, and because you really enjoy the program, you're going to send me a free motorcycle. And could you just make it maybe 500 cc's? That way when I ride down by the creek on the dirt trails, I have a lot of power. That'd be great.
That would be wonderful.
All right, so I've kind of bombed out on that one, but anyway.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you. Have a Merry Christmas.
Oh, you too. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye.
Thank you. All right, we're right at, 30 minutes has come and gone, but we have 30 minutes left. If you want to join me on the air, 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Hey, this is Lynette.
Lynette, good. Could you turn your radio down in the background?
Yeah, I turned it off.
Okay, good. Good job.
How are you, Dr. Morgan?
Oh, I'm doing great, thank you. I'm trying to... You don't know what I'm doing today. You think that I'm just here to be on the air, but I actually have three small children with me. And so I'm telling you, if you hear a loud noise in the background, it weren't me. So I've got like I've got little buzzing bees buzzing all around me while we're talking. But yeah, go ahead, Lynette.
Okay. I have some concerns about a friend and who's going into kidney failure. And this person was born with a hole in her heart and had it all of her life, and it was fine. And then eventually one doctor said, oh, because you have a hole in your heart, you're high risk for a stroke, so we're going to put you on blood thinners.
Oh, man, that's just a great recommendation, wasn't it?
No, it was not good. And ever since then, things have been going downhill with indigestion and lots of belching. And now...
Are they still on the blood thinner?
No, thank God. Ooh. The family convinced them to take her off, but she's already in the beginning of kidney problems.
Well, do you think that the blood thinner had something to do with the kidney problems?
I really can't. All I really want to know is, yes, I'm sure.
No, tell me what you really want to know.
What I really want to know is what's good for... and what's bad for kidneys? What's bad to eat? What to avoid?
Oh, man.
I know that protein's not good.
No, that's not true. Excessive protein would be bad. That part's true. But you got to have protein if you're going to... Because one of the primary roles of the kidney is to make sure that it filters proteins and prepares them for all the other organs of the body. And so if you want your body to be in repair, you've got to have protein. There's no way around that. But you're right, though. Excessive protein, a high-protein diet... That would not be the thing that you want right now. I agree. Now, how can I start off with this? 2 days ago, I was reading an article, and it had to do with anti-aging, but they were examining, I won't go through all of it, I promise you, but they were looking at the 11 top diets that people could engage in, and the truth is, all of them show benefit. But when I was reading about each one of the diets, you know what I figured out real quick? Just my very simple observation? Not one of these diets had any processed foods. Not one. None. That tells me that if they're all using natural foods that God himself has made, all of them had plants as part of it.
Okay.
And so, do you get the gist of what I'm saying? Not one of them... included any processed foods. Do you realize that your friend could be transformed just by giving up processed foods, just eating real food?
Well, she tries to stay with organic, but
You're gonna have to throw me a bone here. You're gonna have to give me something very precise because I can literally about her, all I can do is just guess.
Can we say, are there any particular herbs or essential oils that are really good for the kidneys?
I'm not aware of one essential oil that turns the kidneys around whatsoever. Not one. I wish I did, but I would call that majoring in minors. That's just my opinion. I'm going to have 50 women on the phone right now saying I disagree. Don't even talk about that. They're good, but not for that. Now, baking soda. Studies show that when a woman consumes somewhere between a fourth of a teaspoon of baking soda to a half a day in water, that's been shown to greatly help aid the kidneys. Okay? Simple as that. What does baking soda does? It has an alkalizing effect. What is the greatest alkalizer of all? It's breathing. And so your friend has a fundamental problem with the microcirculation in the kidneys. And so I'm not being judgmental. This is not me saying I know her. I don't know her at all. But she doesn't have the blood flow to the kidneys that she needs to have. And chances are she's probably in the house all day long. She's going to be at 72 degrees the rest of her life. That is not something that stimulates circulation. Sometimes I almost like people with kidney failure to walk around in the grass or the ice or the snow barefooted. Well, there's no snow or ice. So she needs a high plant-based diet that's high in fat or higher in fat. I would say that fat plays a most critical role in how efficiently the kidneys have an ability to rejuvenate themselves. But there's a lot of things. I can't even mention them because I don't know where your friend's going to find them. But I would say let's focus on rejuvenation. So tell me what your friend's proportions are. What's her height and what's her weight?
She's probably 5'6" and 130 pounds. She's losing weight. And
So she's got really, really good proportions. So she's got an upside here. Magnesium has been shown to be very beneficial when the kidneys are not working right. Believe it or not, kidney beans have compounds that are good at healing the kidneys. I would say that lime or lemon juice, man, it actually sounds good right now. If you get a lime and I squeeze it in water, I would drink it right now on the spot. They have an alkalizing effect upon the body. But what I went, so if she does not move her body very much throughout the day, maybe she does. She walks a lot?
I don't know. I think she's been rather sedentary. She's since her off of the off of the blood thinners, she's had an increased stigma now in her body.
I always think that sulfur is just one of the most important elements when there's blood issues or kidney issues, and so if a person set their mind like Flint that they were going to start eating more cabbage and kale and cauliflower and broccoli and asparagus and onions and garlic and grass-fed beef and eggs. Let me think. What radishes? Those are high in sulfur. But all those things that have sulfur. But one of the keys that I don't want to overlook is our bodies require natural sunlight touching the skin in order to produce sulfur molecules. It's very simplistic. I know I'm making it sound that way, and for all I know, there'll be no sun today. So it's not like she can go sunbathe, but I'm a firm believer in getting sun and air and walking barefoot. If you want the kidneys to repair, walking barefoot is one of the ways of doing that. Even if you're uncomfortable and it's cold outside, walking barefoot is one of the greatest stimulants of the kidneys of all time. Now, I can't logically, scientifically explain that to you, but you just have to tell me if you can accept that through faith. And so if she starts to see an improvement in kidney function, which is the goal here, then we're in business.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Lynette. I hope you have a good day, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Have a good day, and thanks for being such a good friend to your friend.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, if you'd like to join me on the air, there's a phone line officially open, 903-586-5257. You are listening to KBJS. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Hope you're doing well this morning.
I am. Thanks a bunch. How about you?
I'm doing well. Well, actually, I'm kind of scared. The report that you read a while ago really bothers me.
Well, do you feel like that I told you what I just read it verbatim from the accurate report, and that comes from PubMed? It's from the government.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I have stopped all soft drinks. I've been diabetic for 22, 23 years, and that's used to be about all I drank. I have stopped those completely, and I drink water and unsweetened tea and coffee now. That's about it.
Such an awesome dude. Oh,
is there any way to reverse the potentials?
Oh, yeah.
Because I drank lots and lots and lots and lots of aspartame and for years.
Oh, I thought for a second you were going to say, is there a way to reverse diabetes? And I was going to say yes. But, yeah, the first thing to answer your question is if you stop consuming any product that contains aspartame, then you're creating a situation where your body can undo the negative effects and they can start to detoxify it. And that's, I mean, what do you do if you smoke 20 cigarettes for 40 years and you stop? Well, yes, I would have much preferred that my father had never smoked a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Really would have, but that wasn't the case at all. And so after 50 years of smoking cigarettes, I mean, that is one tough habit to break, right?
I'm sure. Yeah,
sure. But the day you start is a good day. The
right.
day that you start saying, I no longer am going to do this, that's when your body can start doing what God designed to do. I just always, my hope in my heart is that I can get to a person before they pass the point of no return.
Yeah.
And that's not my way of trying to be negative, but a human being only has so much life force or energy, and I know that all comes from God.
Right.
But sometimes people get to the very end of their life where their body has been ravaged by a lifetime of poor decisions, and then what do you have? It's just a little bit too late, but still, whatever day that you can stop aspartame is a day that your body starts detoxifying and healing and repairing the negative side effects from it.
Yeah, okay.
So, good.
All right, well, we're on the right track, man.
Good. Keep up the good work,
all
man.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
No.
All right. The phone line is once again open at 903-586-5257 if you have a question. Tell you what, I get to hear what people say all day long, and I can tell really quick that sometimes the only thing I have to do is change a person's thinking, because if you can do that, then you can have radiant health. Good morning, and how are you today?
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I am calling to ask a question about my little 4.5-month-old grandson. He has eczema really bad. I mean, like, all over, under his neck, his eyelids,
oh,
his eyes.
Kid.
His dad has eczema. Mom was nursing, and one of Dad's triggers is milk, and Mom drank a lot of milk, and so...
You've already figured it out.
Okay, well, so now she said she just got to where she couldn't produce enough milk, and they've put him on a goat's milk formula.
Well, has the eczema cleared up?
No.
Okay, there's your second answer then.
The goat's milk is what's
well,
probably...
Now, I am not trying to be difficult at all by my next question, so
okay.
Just interpret it just very lightly, but... Does Mama want to make more milk so she can feed her son the perfect food?
I think she struggled so much, and people kept saying, "What's wrong with your baby?" when they would see him. That,
oh, no. Bless
that,
your heart.
Yeah, that maybe she gave up. And she was having a hard time keeping up with how much he wanted to eat. And
is his name Goliath? Just curious.
He may be.
Well, anyway, I would say there's a high correlation to some type of an allergic response to dairy as the main trigger, because eczema is an autoimmune disease, which means if the child has contact with what I would call a cow's milk protein, then his immune system may start generating antibodies against that, and those antibodies may settle in the skin. And when the immune system starts to remove those, they kind of attack the skin in the process, and so you get all this horrible red... See, I am not unsympathetic. I have seen cases of eczema where the child was just a bloody scab from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, because you can't tell a little kid that's 4.5 months old not to scratch, can you?
Right. Yeah, that's been a big
so
problem.
If Mama wanted to breastfeed again, I'd say, why don't we give her fenugreek?
Fenugreek.
Why don't we give her some black currant seed oil?
Black currant seed.
Why don't we go to Walmart and get that herbal tea called Mother's Milk?
okay.
But it has a lot of those things that have been shown
okay.
to be time-honored. Yeah, they're natural herbs, but they stimulate milk production. And the most important thing to me is, if I had 30 minutes with the mama and I could tell her what she should be eating and what she should be avoiding, because I can tell you this, I have seen mother after mother after mother, they would climb Mount Everest and go down the backside if they knew they would save their child from eczema.
Yeah.
But I've seen other mothers that wouldn't lift a finger to help your child too, which that's always disconcerting, but... So if we could change the mama, then she would start making so much milk, she could feed the entire neighborhood. I'm hoping the neighborhood is a very small neighborhood. Just,
it
is, triplets
thankfully.
Or quadruplets. But anyway, yeah. Now, I know this is going to come across as a joke, but I have so many books in my garage, but one of the books talks about how men in a severe crisis, they can actually make breast milk.
Oh, my.
And so I've read several stories of mothers dying during childbirth and the twins, and they're crying and there's no food and they're in the middle of nowhere, and the father will start producing milk until he can get the kids to a, you know, a wet nurse or somebody, or somebody that can give them mother's breast milk. Anyway, you know, in my fantasy world, we would find somebody at 4.5 months old. Actually, I'm going to go on a different course here. Let me cover this topic and you tell me if it sounds good to you.
Okay.
When a woman becomes pregnant, if I'm not mistaken, it's somewhere around month number one that there is a massive, I'm going to call it a migration. Yeah. Think about geese flying south for the winter.
Okay.
I have not seen geese fly north for the winter. Have you?
No, never.
That probably head in the wrong direction, but there is a massive migration of a very interesting type of a bacteria called Bifidobacterium. Have you ever heard of that one before?
No.
All right, but there's a migration from the female reproductive canal. This bacteria starts crawling and starts colonizing, and it makes its way from the reproductive canal to the belly button. From the belly button, it makes it straight to the breast, both of them. Now, you tell me how that works, because I don't understand it. That's under the category of, that is just too wonderful and sophisticated.
God knows.
Thank you. That makes sense. But it makes a migration, so just before the baby comes out of the womb, you have this bacteria that's colonized mama's breast. And so when the baby comes out, guess what happens? The child latches onto the nipple, and it starts gulping down massive amounts of this beneficial microbe called Bifidobacterium. And so mother's breast milk has easily 200-plus forms of sugar in it. None of them are digestible by a baby. The baby can't digest any of that stuff. Oh, but God's plan is to put bifidobacteria. And so when the baby breastfeeds, it's gulping down massive levels of bacteria. So I know you've already figured this out. That might be one reason to long-term breastfeed. And so the number one predictable value, if a child is going to have a dairy intolerance, is going to be the concentrations of Bifidobacterium. So there may be a deeper message in here that I'm trying to let you guess for yourself. Does this mean that the baby needs massive amounts of Bifidobacter in order to overcome eczema? The answer is yes. Right? Okay. So that's one clue right there. So
okay.
It's not the only factor, but eczema is an autoimmune disease, and so whatever we do now is going to drastically change the child's health for the rest of his life for the better, or the child is going to be plagued with one problem after the other. So if you told me this was a hospital birth where the mother had an episiotomy, then I would say, well, they gave her a big dose of antibiotics. That probably killed all the Bifidobacter, so we got to replace those. I would say if it's a C-section, we really need to give the kids probiotics big time, even at 4.5 months of age. Is the child constipated at all?
I don't think so. They've never mentioned that. We don't live close at all.
Are you trying to tell me that you haven't changed 10,000 diapers yet?
I haven't, and I can't wait. They're coming for Christmas.
Really? You mean, is that your Christmas present?
That
changing
is
diapers?
My present.
You know what I would do? I would just hang a diaper up from the mantle instead of a stocking.
Okay, absolutely.
She walks in and go, really, Mom? And so the child is going to need tremendous amounts of Bifidobacter. I'll just call it replacement therapy. So we want to flood the child with probiotics.
Can they get that at
health
food store?
Piece of cake. Okay. Actually, can I be a little crazy here?
You always are, so go ahead.
All right, good. So I'm dreaming big here. I think Mom and Dad probably need probiotics, because every time that they touch and caress and kiss, every time that Mama presses her lips against the child's forehead or cheek or neck or whatever to make it giggle, she is imparting bacteria. And so if the dominant species are good, then what we're going to do is we're going to get rid of all that horrible inflammation that's causing eczema.
Okay.
So it's probably a dairy intolerance. So if that means if you give the child a formula, oh my goodness, we're just gonna probably make matters worse. But anyway, you gotta do the best you can.
Yeah.
Can I be even crazier? If I had to give a food, If I had a child that's 4.5 months old now, to me, I kind of think that might be just a little bit young for them to reach out and try to grab food off your plate. But I'd say probably around, what, like 6 or 7 months, they probably do that all the time,
right,
don't they?
Right.
So when you have this baby in your arms and y'all are eating Christmas dinner, you cannot be shocked if the child doesn't, like, lunge forward and try to grab something, right?
Right.
All right. These are my personal favorites, but the thing of it is, they're all high in fat. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do an experiment, all right?
Okay.
Because, and there's a lot of research behind this, but I'm not going to cover all that. It has to do with kids with horrible eczema that live in an orphanage. They put a buffet out and say what they grab. So here's your homework.
Okay.
Before they get there, you're going to set the table, and they're going to show up right for mealtime, and you're going to take an organic stick of butter, and you're going to lay it down right by your plate. So if you have qualms about this, just tear, you know, 2/3 of the paper off of it so the child can grab the paper like a popsicle or a candy bar, and you're just going to set it there and see what happens. And then you're going to take an avocado, and you're going to get one that's ripe, though, so you might have to taste test it, and so you're going to put a piece of avocado there. And then you're going to have an egg yolk that's going to be like, my wife is a stickler for poaching them for the baby.
Right.
Don't tell her I said this, but I never do that. I just like lightly fry it and just peel the yolk out of the egg, you know, kind
okay.
of an over easy.
Right.
But she's going to say I'm doing it the wrong way, so don't tell her.
My
that I do
lips are sealed.
Okay, thanks. I don't have to worry about it getting back to her, do I?
No.
So okay. if you took the egg yolk, and you know what all these things have in common is they're all fat. I think that is the, and that's what you got to do is if you want to seal up the thing that's causing the eczema, you got to see, if you want to heal the skin, you got to heal the gut.
Okay.
So,
this would work for my son too then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if this baby is 10 months old and they're walking around in your kitchen,
mm-hmm.
fine by me if you take a spoon of coconut oil and give it to them, let them lick on it.
Okay.
Give them a stick of butter. Fine by me. I want somebody to call and explain to me how a stick of butter is not a perfect food for a newborn baby.
Oh, well, I think it's the perfect food for old people, so I'm real happy about that.
So,
okay, so for her right now, though, if she went back to nursing, it started with an S. I don't remember the name of that. Finnegan or something?
Well, fenugreek is what you use when you're nauseous.
Oh, okay.
Was she nauseated?
No. It was something you told me that in the...
Oh, it's called fenugreek.
Fenugreek, that we could get in the tea called mother's milk.
Yeah, or herb. There's other things I use also, but that can be a gold mine.
Okay.
I've had so many women that said, I just can't make enough milk. I'm going, sister... You're going to be pumping out 40 gallons a day like a Jersey. Not that much, but no, they'll make plenty. And plus, you know, we're living in modern times where they can go get that, is it called a Medina breast pump?
Yeah, I think she has one of those.
Now,
should she...
I could take a woman that's never been pregnant, and we can give her these things and start pumping and get her to produce milk.
Wow, yeah, I've heard that.
So you can't tell me this can't be done.
Okay. Now, but should mama then not be drinking milk and things like that?
There's no other way around it. She's got to do that.
Right.
So, going back to butter just for a second, probably what we want is we want what's called ghee, G-H-E-E.
Okay. I've heard of that.
So, she should use that, and it's going to be... And maybe what I'm saying, I know I'm taking artistic license here, but maybe the trigger is the dairy proteins is causing the immune system to overreact and generate too many antibodies, and those antibodies are settling the skin, causing chemical warfare to take place, and that's what's making the skin red and angry and inflamed and itchy and weepy and crusty and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really, really bad.
But this child is a drop-dead gorgeous, beautiful baby.
Oh, right? My gosh. You can't even imagine.
Well, tell me, is it
he's the prettiest.
Did you say he is prettiest?
Oh, he is. Oh, my gosh.
A beautiful
baby.
I didn't think it was legal to use the word pretty and boy unless his name was Floyd.
Okay, so if they decide to leave him on a formula...
But if it's based on dairy, it'll never work.
Okay.
Dairy as in cow's milk.
Right, right.
So we may have to use something based like either on a... You know one thing that I find interesting?
Okay. What's that?
There's a type of fat that's found in nature called a medium-chain triglyceride, and usually they're going to get that from coconut oil.
Okay.
But what I want you to do is, just for fun today, go to the store and look at the store in Jacksonville here. I don't have to explain this. It's called Walmart. But if you go, there's a huge aisle, and every one of these baby formulas, there is no choice. If they're going to have these babies at least do sort of okay on the formula, they got to have coconut oil in it. I want you to show me.
Yeah, if coconut that's not oil, there.
No, if you, I want you to go show me an infant formula that doesn't contain coconut oil. So all these physicians are telling us that coconut oil is bad. Really? Then why is it an infant formula? If it's so bad, there'd be lawsuits out the wazoo, wouldn't it?
Right.
Or wouldn't there?
Right.
So yeah, mother is going to have her mind set like flint that milk is what's going through and causing this reaction. Now,
okay.
Now you realize I'm not blaming her, because
right.
Doesn't the Bible say that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge?
Exactly.
Of course, the Bible also says that where there is no hope or no vision, the people perish, right?
Right.
So we've got to show her a way out of this. And so the way out of this is to avoid dairy and to take probiotics and see if we can't have the most gorgeous man baby of all time that just radiates at a high level.
Okay.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but who formed the baby in the womb?
Absolutely. The Lord did. He knit him together.
Yes, like yarn with knitting needles.
Yes. I love that.
I do, too.
Now, for right now, while he's so broken out, they had taken him to the doctor, and he gave them a steroid cream to rub on him, and so they didn't want to do that.
Well, I don't want to do that either, because it doesn't do anything, other than if you want to set a I tell you what, have you ever had a steroid before?
Oh, yes.
Well, let me ask you, how was your sleep when you took the steroid?
Oh, not good.
And what was your appetite like?
Right.
What about your emotions? Were you a little bit irritable?
Well, see, and I wonder if that wasn't why he was trying to
consume
so much.
Of course it is. Yeah. You can't take it. Yeah, all right. Yeah, this is only true for adults, not for children or babies. Of course,
right.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't. They used it a little bit, but it bothers daddy, so they wouldn't put it on the baby.
Well, I say,
can they rub coconut oil? Is that what they should be putting on him?
What they should do is they should dip him in oil.
Well, I don't. Okay.
You know, I think this is almost so comical. My wife would say, my wife would say, watch this right here, and she'd take like a relatively newborn baby when. We don't really bathe our kids at our house. It's just too much work. But she would put the baby on the changing table and say, watch this. And I'd watch her, Ruth Ann, rub coconut oil on her fingers, her hands. And she would drench the baby in coconut oil. And she said, watch this. And literally, within, I don't know, a minute or two, the baby just soaks it up. All right, you're listening to KBJS FM 90.3 Jacksonville, Tyler, and Longview.